News Talk 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. It's 8 o'clock in Mid-America. Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, this is Christine Niffen. You're listening to Relationships 101 right here on KMOX Radio. Hey, good evening, and thanks for tuning in this evening on this very nice Sunday evening. Listen, we have a good show tonight. We have a guest, Kelly Murray, who is a PhD. She is an assistant professor and director of PhD clinical education at Loyola College in Baltimore. She's also a clinical psychologist who is in private practice in Bethesda, Maryland, of course, where she works and writes in the areas of personality disorders, relationships, and trauma. She has written a book this evening, actually co-authored a book called Crazy Love. Here's the opening. You're attracted to a problem personality. You know the story. You meet someone new, smart, charming, endearing. You fall in love. Then you begin to notice unusual habits and behavior. After a while, serious personality problems begin to surface. Crazy Love will help you steer clear of such potential disasters or deal with one if you're already there. You'll discover strategies for detecting and avoiding problem personalities, making good choices, and finding a healthy partner. Dr. Murray, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, Christine. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to get to Crazy Love here that talks a lot about personality disorders. But, you know, look what's the hot topic in the news. We can't skip over the whole, I know a lot of people are doing it, the whole Elliot Spitzer thing, the governor of New York.
Yeah.
Listen, there's been a lot of people doing a lot of shows, and a lot of people have a whole bunch of different takes on that topic. I mean, since you study personality disorders, I mean, some people say, hey, he's got an addictive personality, an addiction to sex. Some people say he thinks he's above the law. Some people say a whole bunch of stuff. What's your take on that? What do you think about that with your years of practice?
Well, you know, I definitely think that there are personality or character traits that make somebody more vulnerable to cheating. And when we look at Elliot Spitzer, we definitely see some of those traits. You know, we see a certain amount of entitlement. He seems to be a really sensation-seeking or thrill-seeking, high need for stimulation kind of guy.
Like going after the big fish kind of thing?
Yeah, going after the big fish. And I think when you see that, what you typically see is somebody who feels that the rules don't necessarily apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody who feels a sense of maybe invulnerability and a sense of righteousness, which I think, you know, this is a man who went after pretty harshly prosecuted some of these prostitution rings in the past, and sort of got caught in his own web. I think he was probably very aware of, you know, how people get caught. And so, you know, why is it that he's putting himself in a position where he's going to get caught?
Listen, that is the question. And, you know, I had a great therapist years ago who said, it's not one thing, Christine, or the other. It's little parts of many things, which, you know, is always good. I heard a funny thing the other day. I don't know. I thought it was funny. It was Bill Maher. He's that comedian. I think he's on HBO or Showtime. He does a lot of political stuff.
Yeah.
And here's what Bill, whether you like him or not, here's what Bill Maher said. He said, hey, the guy just wanted to have sex. Now, that doesn't mean it was true, but it was funny. He said, look, he's been married 20 years, and people who are married 20 years only have sex on Valentine's and their birthday. I mean, so that's a little crazy, but okay, maybe there's a tiny part of that, but I think it's a lot about the different things that you say. So let's get into Crazy Love for a bit.
Sure.
Dealing with your partner's personality problem. The way you in the beginning, you open up, you say that this, if you hear me thumbing the pages, which is always fun, it's a weird partner detection and survival guide. Let's talk a little bit about that, because let me tell you what, I can relate to this personally. Primarily women, but because more women come in for therapy individually than men do in my office, it tends to be. But there are plenty of women who come in, what's wrong? Why does he do that? You know, I start getting into there's intimacy issues and blah, blah, blah. You then take it another layer deeper and say, hey, sometimes there could be a personality disorder going on. Talk to me a little bit about that. You have 12 different personality disorders, I believe.
Right.
And so that's a lot, and we probably can't go over that. But you've clustered them into sort of three different clusters. We have odd, eccentric, weird partners. There's a few personality disorders put in there. You've got dramatic, erratic, and dangerous partners. There's some in there. And you have anxious, withdrawn, and needy partners.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, what's going on with these people with personality disorders. What are you going to experience if you're in a relationship with somebody who has some of these personality disorders?
Okay, I think that's a great question. And it was one of the reasons why we decided to write this book. You know, 15% of the adult population suffers from a personality disorder, which is about 16 million potential relationship partners out there. That's a lot of people.
Yes, that is. I think I found a few of them myself.
Well, I think we can all relate to this if we think back, you know, in our dating lives. And one of the things that my co-author Brad and I have discovered over the years in our own practices, as you probably have too, is when you sit with couples, what you really will start to notice are these deep-seated sort of character personality traits that become problematic over time. These aren't traits that we sometimes necessarily pick up right off the bat when we're dating somebody. We tend to gloss them over, or we're getting our own needs met. We tend to be infatuated, or to be quite frank, we don't always put out the true parts of ourselves when we're dating somebody.
Right.
Sometimes it just takes time for that to unfold.
Right. Listen, I you know, one of the characteristics in some of these, and you have to remember. Now, I remember distinctly in graduate school, many eons, well, not that long ago, but many eons ago, going over these personality disorders, and it was kind of funny in a way because I was like, that's my neighbor, that is that man that I work with, that's what his problem is.
Right.
You know, everybody kind of tends to do that a little bit, but actually, you know, I looked at a few of those and I was a little nervous. I'm like, some of those are me. So. I've always felt, and tell me what your feelings are, I've always felt that personality disorders a little bit are sort of like the different personality types just taken to an extreme.
That's true. I mean, if you think about personality existing along a continuum.
Yes, you know, as life is.
Right, exactly. You know, there's, of course, we always sort of strive for balance, but there are parts of our personality, or we all have personality traits that work for us, and we all have them that don't. So you're right. When you look through this book, or you look at people's personalities or their character traits, you notice that there are some that just aren't working for particular people. And people who have personality disorders have a host, or, you know, a constellation of personality traits that come together that are problematic. So one, in and of itself, is not the problematic part of it. You need a few personality traits that aren't working to come together to meet a disorder.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest ones I see, well, that I'm sure that goes with antisocial. I'm sure that goes with the border. I know that goes with narcissistic, and I'm sure it goes with borderline. One of the main things, you know, and I don't just mean somebody who just, you know, doesn't want to grow up and take responsibility. I'm talking about that classic trait that is throughout multiple personality disorders, an utter lack of ability to understand how you negatively impact other people and to understand that and take responsibility for that.
Right, and that's actually one of the hallmark features of a personality disorder.
Right.
That the person who has the personality disorder does not think that they have a problem, but the rest of the world knows they do.
Absolutely.
So it is that lack of insight, which is what makes treatment actually so difficult. Because in order to want to get better, you have to think you have a problem.
Right, so let me ask this. In your experience, I mean, honestly,
yeah.
when people have, you know, a clinically diagnosed personality disorder, how many of them are actually going to recognize it? And which ones? I mean, you're not going to, are you going to get the borderline or the antisocial personality disorder to recognize it? How many people are really going to ever recognize and admit to that? I mean, I don't know if you know the percentage, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but I'll tell you that there are a few of them that the people are more likely to recognize it because they feel miserable inside about it. And those tend to be their dependent personality.
Mm-hmm.
The depressive personality, which is sort of a new one under review, the avoidant personality. The borderline client actually has a lot of psychological turmoil, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. And because they tend to feel so badly, chronic suicidality, they tend to realize that there's an issue and to present for therapy. Now, the antisocial, the paranoid, the narcissist, the histrionic personality, they're much less likely, one, to present to therapy, or secondly, to realize they have a problem. They're much more likely to project the problem outwardly onto other people.
Right, and in characteristic of the, you know, the vast majority, clearly, of these personality disorders, are it gets in the way of them, their ability to form decent relationships with people.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty classic. You know, what you see with people who have personality disorders is somebody who has a very rigid and deeply etched problem with their personality, which means that it's rigid, it's inflexible, it's been going on for a long period of time, and they're much less likely to have the extent of empathy toward others. which causes problems in relationships.
Right. That's when you're sitting there with the person, and I don't know what you're saying. You're saying, you know, don't you know that when you scream at me in public, it hurts me and upsets me, and they look at you like you're crazy, like you're talking to somebody.
Yeah, or they'll look at you and say, well, that's your problem.
Exactly.
And you need to deal with that.
Well, that's why you call it crazy love, because you feel like you're talking to somebody from another planet.
Yeah.
You feel like you call your friends up and you go, this happened to me. And this is how it made me feel. And all your friends go, well, of course it made you feel like that. You know, and I don't mean anything questionable because it's your own issue. I mean, obviously it makes you, of course it made you feel like that. And you go, how come you keep saying that when you're in a relationship with somebody with a personality disorder, you keep going, how come everyone I know would feel the same way, but you don't understand what I'm talking about?
Right. And thankfully you have those reality checks.
Yes.
People can say it's not you. But when you are in relationship with these people, you end up at the end of the day wondering if you're going crazy.
Exactly. Hence crazy love. Listen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Dr. Murray.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Yes, you are listening to Relationships 101. And we are talking this evening with Dr. Kelly Murray. She is a co-author of Crazy Love, and this is dealing with your partner's personality problem. Listen, Kelly, I would like to talk a little bit about how personality disorders develop. But before I do that, I was glancing over the traits again of the narcissistic personality.
Right.
And I was thinking back to Elliot Spitzer, because we all just keep going back to that.
Right.
Let's see. He exploits other people, often taking advantage of you and others to meet his own needs. I mean, you can certainly, you know, I realize some women go into prostitution of their own accord, but I would certainly put that in the category of exploiting people.
Yes.
Seems envious of others or believes others are envious of him.
Yes.
Is frequently arrogant in attitude and behavior.
Yeah, we definitely see that, don't we?
We definitely see that. Oh, here's the good one. He shows a strong sense of entitlement.
Yes.
He expects others to comply, to give him special treatment or automatically comply with his wishes.
Yeah.
And he has an inflated sense of self-importance and often exaggerates his talents and achievements. Well, it also talks about being preoccupied with fantasies of beauty, success, power, or ideal love. That could be in there. That could have been what that was about. Do you think he's got some traits of that?
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of red flags there. I mean, if he was sitting in my office, I would be really concerned that that's what I was seeing. And what we will frequently see with people who are narcissistic as well is that they tend to be highly stressed and somewhat anxious. And there are very few outlets often for these people. So what we'll see is with the narcissist, with the extreme narcissist, is sort of acting out behavior, sometimes through alcohol. For Elliot Spitzer, I think it was sex.
Yes.
You'll see shoplifting. You know how, like, sometimes you see in the media, you'll see somebody with a lot of power or somebody quite famous.
Winona Ryder just felt the need to go out and pick up a few little items for herself.
Right. Somebody who can clearly afford
right.
to be buying with their shoplifting. Or you'll see it through gambling. So you'll see this acting out behavior almost as an outlet for their stress and their anxiety. And that makes me wonder if that didn't contribute as well.
Well, absolutely, because also somewhere in the book you also mentioned, which I've certainly noted in my practice, that there is often a coexisting mental illness.
Yes.
And, you know, I could definitely see him as the type A, slightly on the OCD spectrum in the anxiety group, just like you described.
Right, right. I think very rarely will you see somebody with a pretty significant personality disorder that does not have another mental disorder.
Right, that's what I always thought. Like, most of the time, the few borderlines, the true ones I've actually had to work with, have usually had depression, sometimes often bipolar, usually a co-occurring mood disorder.
Yes, or you know, you'll see eating disorders. With antisocial, very common to have substance dependence or narcissism, substance dependence, or the people who have who are dependent personalities will typically be depressed, have anxiety, et cetera.
Right. And so you know, you've got antisocial, borderline. So the dramatic, erratic, and dangerous partners in that cluster, you believe you tend to see a coexisting kind of anxiety disorders or something on the mood disorders?
Yeah, typically you do. And, you know, about, it depends on which studies you read, but, you know, a lot of studies consistently will say anywhere between 60 to 70% of the time, depression and anxiety go together.
Right. And of course, it exacerbates these like anything, right?
Exactly. So, you know, what happens is this is why people will present for therapy is because of the depression or because of the anxiety, not typically because of the personality disorder.
No, because they're just not really seeing it.
They're not seeing it. But what we notice is that if we just treat the depression, and I'm sure you've noticed this, just treating the depression or just treating the anxiety, that it will continue to come back over and over again. There are these really high relapse rates. So unless we actually start to treat the personality disorder, we have a really difficult time getting rest of the other mental disorders that are also co-occurring.
Absolutely. And listen, we will jump back to that in a second, but let's start with the at the beginning. How do personality disorders develop? And what do you see in terms of ratio of men or women, or, you know, in terms of the differentiation and who actually comes into the office? Like, I don't want to sound sexist, but quite frankly, a lot more women will present themselves individually for counseling than individual men. I have individual men who come in, but it's a vast majority more to me. It's 3/4 to 1/4 coming in on their own, not in couples counseling. That
right.
seems to be what I see. And so do we really have a real understanding of the level of personality disorders in men versus women?
I don't think we do. And I don't think that there are a lot of great studies out there on all of the personality disorders. I think that there are a few of the personality disorders that have become quite hip. You'll hear a lot about, like, borderline, for example, or there's a lot in the, you know, in the media about antisocial, or now because of, you know, like the Virginia Tech shootings and
right, everybody's antisocial with intermittent explosive disorder.
Right, or paranoid.
Right.
There's a lot of paranoia, and so that one's sort of big. But to be quite honest, there's not a lot of great research on some of these personality disorders to really know how widespread they are.
Okay. You know, how do personality disorders develop?
You know, that seems to be the age-old question in mental health. Where do mental disorders come from in general?
Mm-hmm.
Very few of them that we have great answers for. And it probably is a confluence of events. You know, you probably have a certain amount of genetic, biological predisposition and vulnerability that comes together in a child who also has some childhood experiences that are characterized by neglect, conflict, maybe emotional abuse, or the modeling of a disordered behavior in a parent. So, I mean, that's really what we look at is, you know, what was going on in this child's home? What were they exposed to? Because probably one of the most important aspects of a child's parental experience is their sense of acceptance versus rejection by their parents.
Certainly.
Yeah, and that sort of attachment. And a child that feels rejected is considerably more likely to develop personality disturbance by adulthood than a child who feels securely attached or who feels happy at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, what we're really looking at here is a combination of a predisposition, a biological predisposition that's coupled with an unhealthy childhood environment on some level.
Right. I mean, it could still come along, you're saying. It wouldn't have itself to such extreme, perhaps, if there wasn't neglect or abuse, right? It might still present itself, the personality disorder, but it might not be so extreme if that nurture aspect wasn't in there.
Right. And I think that, you know, we all have predispositions for illnesses, for mental disorders across the board, but a lot of those can be tempered by a very enriched environment. And when that doesn't happen, somebody is much more likely to become personality disordered or to have extreme character traits that don't work for them.
Absolutely. Listen, we are going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Kelly Murray.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, we are talking to author Kelly Murray, Dr. Murray. She's a PhD, co-author of Crazy Love, Dealing with Your Partner's Personality Problems. Listen, Dr. Murray, before we get into the obvious question, what that says about us, if we keep getting involved with people with personality disorders, let me take a minute to read a little bit of this for a little screening out there. So we'll just sit here and listen. It says, for just a moment, you both write, sit back and think honestly about your former partners and your former love relationships. Some of these conditions may have faded away with hardly a whimper, while others ended loudly in dramatic fashion. Think about the behaviors and traits of these partners. I'm going to read a little quick list off. Something out there for everybody out there listening to think about. If you feel that you're in a relationship and you're like, am I crazy? You're being made to feel crazy. Ask yourself if you see some of these things. Here's one. Did things start off wonderfully but then come to a screeching halt for some reason? Does your partner appear to be completely unaware of his impact on others and the effects of his behavior? Oh, there we go. That's what I talked about earlier. Is your partner okay with behaviors you find quite inappropriate, perhaps even disturbing? When you make efforts to correct the problem, does your partner fail to respond or follow through? Is your partner frequently in intense conflict with you, other people, or even institutions and employers? Does your partner create a positive first impression on people only to later display problems with anger, poor social interaction, or manipulation? Is your partner odd and eccentric to the point that it causes him rejection? Does your partner seem to feel most comfortable when he, or she, is the primary focus and you are diminished by comparison? Does your partner have such profound needs for your attention or adulation that you feel exhausted managing the relationship? Is your partner so rigid and regimented that he changes the routine? That changes to the routine provoke anxiety or anger? And did you notice something weird about this person and decide to proceed with the relationship anyway? So that's kind of an overall catch-all type of questions in that. So let me ask this question. I can certainly understand that because I've asked myself, what in the world am I doing? And when I read your book, Crazy Love, which maybe other people will hopefully want to do as well, I felt a little bit better, like I wasn't crazy that I was attracted to these crazy love people. What does that say about us if we keep finding ourselves being attracted to people with personality disorders or we're in a relationship like that now?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I think that's a question that really demands us to ask ourselves, you know, what's going on? Am I continuing to be attracted to the same kind of person? Is there something about me that I'm not paying attention to that I keep getting sucked in to these relationships that aren't working for me? Because as you know, the more you try to change somebody else, the more they don't change.
Absolutely. You can't change anybody else. You can request what you need,
right,
and they can rise to the occasion or not. But you in and of yourself, that's why I always say, you know, a person has absolutely no control over whether a relationship lasts the entire duration or not, because it takes two people.
Right. And so what we really try to focus on in this book is, and we dedicate a whole chapter to it, which is, how can I be attracted to somebody like this? What does this say about me? What should I be looking for in myself? Should there be something that I need to be changing and working on to make sure that the next relationship I get in is a healthier one for me? And we actually give top nine reasons for attraction to personality disorders.
What are some of the biggies, do you think?
Some of the big ones are... especially initially in a relationship, is getting that tunnel vision where you spend all your time in that new relationship really being attracted to one or two personality traits and ignoring the rest.
Right.
and this is why I say to people, it's so important to date. And, you know, I feel like in my practice in particular, I see people jumping into relationships very quickly. The relationships move very fast, very intensely. Or people date for short periods of time and get married.
Right.
And I always say, you know, date. That's how you get to know somebody. And that's when your tunnel vision tends to sort of open up and you start to see more of the whole person.
Right. And I always say in my practice and on the show, and not from a moral perspective, simply from a practical perspective, don't rush into sex.
Take your time. Take your time. Base your relationship upon a friendship.
Absolutely, because what happens is then, you know, I always talk about the two arenas of intimacy, the communication, emotional communication arena, and the physical arena. Okay. And I think too many people jump far too quickly into the physical arena because, you know, the physical arena, you don't have to be that vulnerable. The physical arena is not where you're saying to somebody, I declared bankruptcy 5 years ago. The
right.
physical arena is not the arena where you say, I look like I have myself together, but really I'm insecure.
Right. That's the place where we're not necessarily revealing our true selves.
Right. It's a lot. People don't have to be nearly as vulnerable, really, in that arena. And also, I think far too many people jump in there, and I think women can do this, too, for a false sense of security. Oh, we're being physical together, so now we're really in a relationship exclusively. And, you know, that's kind of ridiculous.
Right, and that's when, you know, the relationship tends to get very serious very quickly with very little foundation attached to it.
Correct.
So over time, when you have the ebbs and tides of relationships and you tend to go through a difficult time, as all relationships do,
yes,
you don't then have a friendship foundation to fall back on.
Yes, I always say the emotional communication, or you can call it the friendship, the same thing. That's the real glue of any relationship.
It's true, and it's what's going to get you through.
Okay, so let's go back to, again, what does it say about us? You know, it's interesting because I work with people in my relationship coaching. It's a big, like, 45-page workbook I do with people, and one of the sections I have in there are your patterns. And so this might be something that would be revealed in what do you have a pattern of gravitating to? But, you know, it gets defined in different terms instead of personalities, which is a great, you know, the under the layer of the onion type of thing. Because we tend to stay a little bit on the, you know, people who can't commit, they have intimacy issues, yada, 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 yada. But really, you're saying this is the driving stuff behind all that, because those are just the natural byproduct of having these personality disorders.
Right. And if you tend to be attracted, as you said, you know, you're sort of pursuing the same dysfunctional type,
yes,
the same person over and over again, I think that it does merit us looking at ourselves to say, okay, is there something about me that I'm trying to fulfill?
Right. And listen, I'll speak to my own experience. I have definitely had a history in the past, thank goodness not anymore, of gravitating to those more withdrawn, quiet, sometimes depressed individuals. And I'll tell you, I think that's because that's two things. I have the caretaker. I'm the caretaker.
Right. There's no needed.
Yes. Yes. Now that, and then of course, when your self-esteem rises, you don't need to be needed in the same neurotic way, which is very helpful. But also, you know, I'm that Scorpio. We went into your brain. You know, we want to know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling back there? And it's like the mystery. And I want to dig in and see what's in there. Well, then of course I'm going to be attracted to someone who's got that a little more hidden. You know, and that therein lies my issue with that.
Which is where ultimately you end up doing a lot of the work in the relationship.
Well, pretty much you would do all of the work in the relationship, because then, you know, once you're done digging, there's nothing else coming back for you.
Right.
You know.
And that probably goes back a long way. You know, this need to be needed tends to go back to a person's childhood.
Yes.
You know, what was your role, or, you know, whoever's role in the family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, were they sort of the child that felt a great sense of responsibility, sort of, you know,
a great sense of responsibility for the emotional well-being sometimes of the parents.
Of the parent or another person in the house. Or, yeah, were you trying to deflect emotions in the house away from the bigger issues?
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, and so what it ends up doing is these relationships end up filling our own holes, our own voids. So what frequently happens is that we look for people who have traits that are very different from ours,
mm-hmm,
so that we end up feeling more complete. But in the long run, it's those traits, and this sounds very trite, but it's true. I think you'll probably recognize this in your practice. The traits that attract us to people are the traits that end up driving us crazy in the end.
Well, absolutely, because as I always like to say, too, you know, it's human nature to gravitate to the familiar, even if you don't like the familiar.
Right.
You
right.
know, there's no question about that. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they talk about us, we're working our childhood out through our adult relationships, yada, yada. But, you know, that's what the great thing is about, well, quite frankly, about this show and having everything to do with relationships, because it's about, you know, we make mistakes, but we learn and we don't continue to repeat the same ones. That's the point of all this
stuff.
And
that's the goal.
That's always the goal.
Right. If you're continuing to make the same mistake, then to stop and say, you know, sometimes we feel like when we meet somebody we're really attracted to and it feels really good that they're our soulmate. And sometimes it's those relationships that end up not being healthy because we haven't really stopped to look again at the fact that we're recreating patterns for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons we wrote this book was really to try to be preventive, which is to stop and say, look, relationships, while of course the way that we feel, our emotions are very important, it is also a very conscious process.
It is. And I like to always say that. And you know, as we get older, we don't just blindly follow around love and excitement and all that stuff. It's a very conscious, because there's a big difference between being crazy in love, crazy love, like your book says,
right.
and having a solid relationship. Listen, we're going to take one more break and we'll be back.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hi, we are talking with Dr. Kelly Murray. She is a PhD and co-author of Crazy Love, Dealing with Your Partner's Personality, or Problem Personality. I'd call it a problem. Dr. Murray, listen, before we get to the end here, I want to be sure and get a little information from you. Listen, I think this is honestly an excellent book, and I know everybody's going to get it, and they're going to sit there and go, oh, that's my mother, that's my boyfriend,
right.
because that's what everybody does. But I think it's a very important book. If you've ever been in one of those relationships, you know, some of us, unfortunately, family were in a series of those relationships. And one day we woke up, and I mean, you're like, you were made to feel like you were crazy. And I know some of you out there have that feeling. And of course, remember, next hour, we're going to be taking some questions at 314-436-7900. And of course, 1-800-925-1120. We'd love to hear from you if you're in the middle of crazy love, or you think you're dealing with somebody and there's crazy love. So that's a good thing. But if somebody wants to get this book, which I think is great and it's well written, it's easy to understand, it explains a lot, how would somebody go about getting a copy of Crazy Love?
Probably the easiest thing to do would be to get onto either Amazon.com or Borders. Any of the major bookstores' websites carry it, and that would probably be the easiest access to the book.
Okay, that sounds pretty good and pretty easy to do. So listen, in the last few minutes we have here, let's get to the last part of the book. What do you do if you find yourself in a relationship, or God forbid a marriage,
right,
with somebody who's got a personality disorder, and what do you do?
Right. Well, I think that what you do also depends on the nature of the relationship. If you're dating somebody and you really feel like your partner has a significant personality disorder, it's time to slow it down. Really think about, is this the person for me? Because one thing about personality disorders that we know is, while we can help sort of moderate or move down the continuum of a person's personality trait, changing somebody's basic personality is really, really difficult.
Right.
Sort of where the old saying came from, a leopard can't change his spots.
Absolutely.
It takes a long, long time and a lot of concerted effort and mindful work to help moderate somebody's personality. So if you're dating somebody, you really think about whether this is a relationship for you.
And, of course, that's certainly made easier by, is this person willing to even slightly acknowledge it? Because if they're not, then you really have your answer to that anyway.
Right. At that point, you know, you really have a tough decision to make. Now, if you're married, I think it's much more difficult.
Certainly.
I think that, you know, acknowledging that any change is going to be very slow. And one of the best things that you can do if you're in a relationship with this person is to spend some time working on yourself.
Absolutely. And your own strength. And because, you know, I talk to people, I mean, you know, I get that all the time, and I talk about that on this show. Some woman will come in by herself and say, you know, I really need to come with my husband, and we're not even talking about personality disorders. And you hear, you know, I said, well, you know, this sounds like a couple issue. The two of you need to come in. Oh, he'll never come in. Or the husband comes in, and it's happened plenty of times, and says the wife will never come in.
Right.
And then I say, look, it's a process. You have to keep saying, look, I'm concerned. I'm afraid where this is heading if we don't get help. And you just have to keep kind of going up, going up, going up. And eventually, if you won't get any help, I know it's hard, but you have your answer. It does become about that.
It really does. And I think also the more time you spend strengthening yourself, working on yourself, by default, your partner has to change because you're changing the dynamics of the interaction in the relationship.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Listen, Dr. Murray, I'd like to thank you very much for having come on the show this evening. And once again, Crazy Love, you can check that out at Amazon.com, Borders.com, any of the books. And listen, thanks for being on the show this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. You got it. That's great. Listen, we're going to take your calls when we come back after the news. If you've had crazy love, call in, let us know.